Morning, everyone. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. Today is July 23rd. The time is 9 a.m. exactly. If everyone could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask our former Ag Commissioner Gary Casseri to lead us in the pledge. Thank you, Gary. Today we get to start off with one of our favorite presentations of the year, and that's the 2012 Stanislaus County Agricultural Crop Report. Ag Commissioner Milton O'Hare, with some good news, I hope.
I think so. Ag's always good. Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring, Milton O'Hare, Agriculture Commissioner, Sealer Weights and Measures. I'm glad to present this 2012 crop report to you this morning. With me at the table is Richard Homer. He's our crop stat guy behind all these numbers. And I'd like to also express my appreciation to the agricultural producers, industry representatives, and public agencies that provided data for this report. I'd also like to thank Agriculture Commissioner and I'd like to thank Agricultural Commissioner and University Cooperative Extension staff, especially Agricultural Inspector Richard Homer, who compiled the report. Also, Susan Azevedo, who prepared the information for publication. The 2012 crop report is dedicated to the retired Stanislaus County Agricultural Commissioner Gary Casseri, who is here today with us. Gary's career of service started back in 1977. It spanned 36 years and ended in 2013. He worked for the state of California, Department of Food and Agriculture, and also three counties. He worked for Merced County, Tuolumne, and Stanislaus County. We'd just like to thank Gary for his leadership, dedicated service to the county, and for his devotion to agriculture. We miss you, Gary. Are you going to be around tomorrow? Yeah. Water summit. Okay. Okay, these numbers here are the last 2 years of our crop production and also a 10-year look back. Just like to point out that these are the gross values of our agricultural commodities. They don't reflect the production costs or the profits. The value of agricultural commodities produced last year in Stanislaus County increased by more than 6% for an all-time high of $3,277,843,000. This is an increase of $208 million above the 2011 gross production value of $3,069,000,000. The majority of the increases is due to production and price increases. Significant increases occurred in the fruit and nut crop category, specifically almonds, walnuts, grapes, along with tomatoes and chickens. Overall, livestock and poultry products decreased mainly due to lower milk prices and the reduction in the number of dairies by 16, as dairies still struggle under high feed prices. And now I'm going to have Richard go through the top 10 crops for 2012.
Number 10 was deciduous fruit and nut nursery. This was down by $7 million. Although production went up by 682,000 units, price was down by 76 cents per unit from last year. Number 9, turkeys, was up by $8 million. Price remained approximately the same, but the production was up for turkeys by 10,000 head, and the production for poults, which are the young turkeys, was up over $3,397,000 head. Number 8 is grapes. It went up by $26 million. Acreage went up by 2,642 acres. Yields increased, but the price was down to the traditional prices that we have seen in the past after the shortage of 2011. Number 7, tomatoes. Up 3 $30 million. Production increased by 650 acres with strong yields and good prices. Number six was silage, down by $7 million. With a decrease in the number of dairies, production in silage decreased by more than 23,000 acres, even though the prices increased and the yields increased. Number five, walnuts, was up by $38 million. Production increased by more than 6,400 acres. Yields remain steady with a small increase per ton in price. Number four, cattle and calves, up by $6 million. Cattle numbers went down a little bit, but they enjoyed good prices. Number three, chickens, up by $26 million. There was a small increase in the chicken price, but production increased over 8 million head. Number two, almonds, was up by $108 million. Production almonds increased by over 5,400 acres. There was a large amount of acres that are planted but are not yet into production yet. And for the crop report, we only count those acres that are in production. Yields were as high as 2011, and there was a $600 increase per ton in price. And the number one is still milk. Although production was up, the price was way down by $1.69 from $18.69 to $17 per hundredweight. But milk is still the number one production crop in Stanislaus County.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, this is a summary of the top 10 here. If you were to add all those together quickly, it would be 81% of our total production. Also, you can note hay, alfalfa, dropped out of the top 10, mainly due to the number of dairies closing last year. Also note milk and almonds very close there, only $4 million separating those two. Almonds had a great year, as Richard just pointed out. Almonds is also the featured crop for our crop report. Just a little bit about almonds. They were first planted in California in the mid-1700s by Spanish Padres near their missions. Also, in the 1800s, growers started to plant them in the inland valleys. And by the early 1900s, the almond industry was already firmly established in the Central Valley. In the 1940s, almond orchards in Stanislaus County averaged just 300 pounds per acre, with growers receiving 26 cents a pound for their crop. In the 1950s, the University of California and industry leaders helped growers improve their cultural practices, resulting in higher yields and better profits. Subsequently, almond acres throughout California began to increase rapidly through the 1960s, through the 1980s, and beyond. Of course, we still see large increases. The California almond growers now produce nearly 100% of the domestic almond supply and account for over 75% of the worldwide production. Stanislaus County is one of California's top almond producing counties with more than 155,000 acres, which is about 20% of the total acres in the state. We also have over 1,200 almond growers, and yields regularly exceed 2,000 pounds per acre, which is a lot more than the 300 pounds back in the 1940s. We also have more than 30 local export companies that shipped over 235 million pounds of almonds to international destinations in 2012. Almonds are our number one agricultural export for California and for Stanislaus County. And here's our export destinations. We export to 107 different countries. And you can see the major ones there, Hong Kong, Germany, Japan, Spain, Korea, Turkey with 4%. But those major destinations are about 50% of our shipments. Also note that if you add Hong Kong and China together, you're looking at 21% of our exports going out to those countries. A lot of stuff that goes into Hong Kong actually gets into China. Back in 2006, That was less than 5% for those two countries, so it's a great increase there.
Okay.
Here we can see the trend over the last 10 years, from 2003 to now. Back in 2003, we were shipping, we had about 5,200 shipments going out per year. Now we have 8,800 exports going out. We ship 121 different commodities. So it's not only almonds and walnuts, but bare root stock, dried beans, alfalfa. Occasionally we have some fruit going out. So there's a lot of different commodities that are shipped. This equals about 61% increase over the 10 years. And it also mirrors our almond production coming online about the same amount of a percent. I think it's 65% for almonds, the increased acreage coming in.
Okay.
And lastly, I'd like to talk a little bit about our pest detection program. This is a very important program for our county and for our department. It serves as an early warning system for us. We have a dedicated staff, about 20 or so seasonal staff that come out every year, and they put out these traps, about 6,000 traps throughout the county. And we're looking for fruit flies and moths and different beetles and so forth that would cause problems to our agricultural. Back in 2012, we had seven different finds. We had four apple maggot finds, one light brown apple moth, and two red imported fire ant. The apple maggot and the light brown apple moth have been eradicated or we didn't find any more. The red imported fire ant, we have two locations that are under eradication right now. It takes 4 to 5 years to eradicate those. And so we've been able to eradicate every infestation we've had since 1997, so we feel pretty confident we'll be able to get rid of those two. These are not the only three that we look for. We also look for a lot of other different insects, Mediterranean fruit fly, everyone's heard of that one, gypsy moth, Asian citrus. So there's quite a host. There's quite a list of insects that try to come into California. So that concludes our presentation for today. If anyone would like a copy of the 2012 crop report or any reports back to 1940, they're available. They are available on our website at www.stanag.org. And I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have any.
Any questions, the Ag Commissioner? And then we'll have comments. Supervisor DeMartini?
Yeah, I didn't really have a question, especially, but I just wanted to compliment you on the good report. You know, agriculture has always been the county's number one industry, and it's our most important industry. And it's a uniqueness, really, in the world is one of the few places that can grow 200 different crops, far different than in the Midwest or in other places there. And it's a $3 billion industry. It dwarfs any other industry in Stanislaus County. It's our number one employer and the driver of our economy. And it does this with almost no support from the county at all. In fact, the UC Extension Service lacks even an assistant to the farm advisors to do research projects. And I think the total budget of the Ag Department and UC Extension Service combined is less than 0.5% of the county budget. And you look at the economic development report, Scholar Seds report, nearly every city in Stanislaus County has agriculturally based firms as its top employers. You know, companies like Gallo Winery, Del Monte, Seneca, Foster Farms are major employers within the county, and nothing else even comes close, no other industry. And you add that on top of all the support industries that agriculture has, like fertilizer, chemical companies, tractor companies, tire companies, you can see how important this industry is. You know, and it's of course our number one industry. That's why I have always supported protecting some of the farmland that's left here. And you know, pushing development either somewhere else or on less productive land. And especially the proposal that we had here a few weeks ago where the Chamber of Commerce wanted to annex 7,500 acres of our best farmland, put warehouses on it. And I don't know how many more thousands of acres to put rows of track houses on. But the agriculture is an important industry for this county, and you know, we send our products all over the world, so we need to recognize what we have and protect what we have, and I'd like to see, you know, more support from the county, at least for the UC Extension Department, for to do research projects that makes farmers more efficient.
Okay, Supervisor Withrow.
First, Milton, great. First report here. Good job. I was glad that when I saw this picture, it scared me for a second. It looked like a memorial. I'm glad Gary's out in the audience. Well, that was good. But just to kind of reiterate what Jim says here, you know, this, we look at $3.2 billion dollars, the multiplier effect, we're probably $15 billion is what our agri- international exporter, any other county would love to have what we have going here. We used to have a... comparison. I'd like to see the comparison county to county to see where we are. I don't know, did we pass up Merced? I think Merced was a... Or we're ahead of...
Always released after we do. That's all it's saying.
We're way ahead of them in this world. Okay.
We are today.
Yes, we are. Right. So, anyway, just to kind of stress what Jim says, we, you know, we're always chasing the newest and latest business. We're always trying to bring more business in here, and that's great. But look at what we have. Let's look at what we have at home right now. Instead of always being out chasing after what's, you know, what the latest and greatest thing is. And so you can kind of hear the frustration in Jim's voice there as far as, you know, how we treat the agriculture industry, it seems like, in the county. But, I mean, without this, we would, you think things are bad. I mean, it's unbelievable. Here we have a business that continues to grow every year. And so again, just to emphasize, we've got to appreciate what we have at home. Let's grow with what we have at home. And expand from there. So thank you. Great report. Good job, guys.
And I'll say the same. First of all, again, congratulations to Gary for getting out on top. I mean, you did great work for us. And I like to point out, because I said this at Gary Henshaw's retirement when we talked, he says he lost 20 pounds, his blood pressure's down 20 points since he retired. And that shows you the stress on all of our folks in these times. But thank you for dedicating it to them. Another great crop report. I had said in my State of the County that it took us more than 100 years to get to $1 billion of farm gate value. It took us 17 years to get to $2 billion. It took us 5 years to get to $3 billion, showing the entrepreneurial and creative spirit of farmers in this county. I will say that we're coming up against a limiting factor. You know, we do have the temperate climate, but everyone forgets to talk about water. And they don't forget to talk about it, but we need to raise the tenor, because water will be king as we're reclaiming ground in the east. We know we can grow the almonds. We know we can grow grapes on that ground, but it takes water. I think tomorrow night at LAFCO, they're taking up the Trinitas annexation into OID, which is a good thing. Anytime we have water available for farming, it just creates what we're talking about, the multiplier effect. It creates jobs locally. So. Again, a great crop report, a great start, and I think we're more than 25% of the way there in 1 year to accelerating our 5 years to $3 billion, to 4 years to $4 billion. So thank you again. Any other comments? Thank you, guys.
Well done.
Yep. All right. Now I'm going to go on to public comments, an opportunity for anyone to speak on anything that is not on today's posted agenda. Before I ask for public comment, I do want to introduce someone who you'll be hearing more from, but Randy Bradley, who's right over here. He's the new fire chief for MRFA, and there is going to be a pinning ceremony, although he's our acting fire chief currently, on August 2nd at 4 p.m. here in these board chambers. Welcome, Chief Bradley.
Thank you so much, Chair and members of the board. I feel extremely privileged and honored to be selected as your fire chief. I think that the future looks extremely bright for the organization, and working with staff and with the elected officials to really identify efficiencies and while increasing service levels is our goal. I think we could achieve some of those things. So I've had a really, really busy week. I started off early this morning meeting with your chief executive officer. We had a very good meeting, a meeting with the representative to our board from your board, Supervisor O'Brien, this afternoon. And so far, everything has went extremely well. And I really look forward to working with you to protect the citizens of this great county. So thank you very much, and hopefully I'll see you at my badge pinning ceremony on Friday night. If you have any questions of me, I'm more than happy to take questions.
Any questions? No, we look forward to working with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming in. All right, is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Would any Board of Supervisors like to pull anything off the consent calendar? Anyone in the audience want to pull anything off the consent calendar? Okay, if not, we'll move items A1, 2, B1 through 7, C1 through 3.
Motion approved.
Second. The motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. On to item B8, approval of the Community Corrections Partnership Plan for Phase 3 implementation of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment for fiscal year 13-14. Chief Probation Officer Silva. Hi, Jill.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. As Chairman Chiesa said, I'm Jill Silva. I'm your Chief Probation Officer, and I'm here today as Chair of the CCP, our Community Corrections Partnership, to present to you our 2013 Year 3 plan. And although, actually before I get started, I just want to give kind of a public shout out to Doris Foster from the Chief Executive Office for helping me get our agenda packet together. Kind of did it on short notice with her, and she was a big help in getting everything put together. So thank you, Doris. Although I know realignment is not new to any of you in front of me, I think it's helpful for our discussion today to remind the public of the key components of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment. On April 4, 2011, Governor Brown signed Assembly Bill 109 into law. It made fundamental changes to California's correctional system. Key components of realignment included the following. It revised the definition of a felony to provide that nonviolent, non-serious, non-sex offenses are punishable in county jail. Basically, this removed the one-year cap on certain types of offenses that could be served locally. Excuse me. It transferred responsibility for post-release supervision of lower-level offenders, those released from prison after having served a sentence for a nonviolent, non-serious, and non-high-risk sex offense, with the creation of a post-release community supervision offender category. It established that all PRCS-eligible offenders released from prison on or after October 1, 2011, after serving a prison term for a felony, are subject to community supervision by a county agency designated by each county's Board of Supervisors for a period not exceeding 3 years. It enhanced local custody and supervision tools by authorizing counties to use a range of community-based options, which may be provided by local public safety entities directly or through public and private correctional service providers. Initially, AB 109 did not contain funding for county agencies to implement the realignment shift. This did not come until June 30th of 2011, when Governor Brown signed a series of legislative bills as part of the state budget that provided funding and made other technical changes to the law. Public safety realignment became operative October 1, 2011. The California Penal Code requires each county to establish a community corrections partnership and specifies that membership, and specifies the membership that comprises the CCP. Assembly Bill 117 required the CCP to recommend a local plan to the Board of Supervisors for the implementation of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment and required the plan to be voted on by an executive committee. The CCP was established to craft a plan that addresses the most effective ways to integrate the realigned population in an effort to maximize public safety and to use taxpayer dollars in the most efficient way possible. The slide in front of you reflects the current membership of our local CCP, as well as the members of the executive committee. Our executive committee members include myself as chair, Court Administrative Officer Rebecca Fleming, who serves as the presiding judge's designee, District Attorney Birgit Flatiger, Public Defender Tim Bazaar, Sheriff Adam Christensen, Modesto Police Chief Galen Carroll, who is the law enforcement representative, and Madeline Schleffler, the director of BHRS. The full committee has met a total of 8 times since the previous plan was approved, and the executive committee has met twice. Due to the uncertainty of the actual impacts resulting from realignment, the CCP agreed that a phased approach would be the most effective method for developing our public safety realignment plan. Phase 1 occurred during the first 9 months of realignment and served as the foundation for addressing the realigned population going forward. This phase provided a first glance at the preliminary impacts of realignment to inmate housing and community supervision, as well as the treatment and programming needs of the population to be served. Phase 2 occurred in the second year, concentrating on adding and expanding programs, developing task force operations, and addressing the overall impacts to communities. Phase 3 is considered the period where we can expect full implementation of our core programs and capacities. This phase should allow for our adoption of the best and evidence-based practices to ensure the public safety outcomes going forward. This year I've added Phase 4 for planning purposes, and this should occur in year 4 and is considered our stabilizing year. This phase should bring about a leveling off period of average daily populations for housing and supervision, and more permanent funding formulas should be established during this time period. Talk a little bit about the impacts that we've had on housing and supervision. The initial projections provided by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation estimated that the adult facilities would receive approximately 523 new sentenced offenders and 254 parole violators during the first 2 years of implementation, which is a 21-month period. As you can see from the table, adult facilities actually received 776 sentenced offenders and 1,488 parole violators. Those parole violators accounted for 2,635 bookings into our jail facilities. Additionally, 556 inmates sentenced under 1170H, which is the mandatory supervision cases, and 225 parole violators were transferred to the jail alternative programs during the same period of time. CDCR initially projected 877 post-release community supervision offenders would be returned to local supervision during the first 2 years of implementation. Ironically, 1,170. Nothing connected to 1170H, but 1,170 PRCS offenders were actually returned to local supervision, which is a third more than initially projected. Additionally, 722 offenders were sentenced to mandatory supervision under Penal Code 1170H. On average, 84% of the new cases being sentenced also receive a supervision component to their sentence, and we are one of the highest in the state. When I pulled up on the Chief Probation Officer's website, we were tied for second with Contra Costa County. There was only one other county ahead of us, and that was Alpine, and they had very few sentenced. So we are one of the top ones in the state. As a reminder to you and the public, I also wanted to review the programs that were previously funded during years 1 and 2, and these programs make up our core plan. We increased jail capacity in both years 1 and 2. Funding was provided to add sheriff staffing and operational services to increase the inmate bed count by 222 beds. This also included funding for contracted services such as Friends Outside, the Literacy Center, Salvation Army, and mental health. This fiscal year, 415 inmates were sentenced under 1170H and 714 parole violators were booked almost 1,500 times. We added sheriff staffing to expand the alternative work program and home detention program. Last fiscal year, 357 inmates sentenced under mandatory supervision and 55 parole violators were transferred to the jail alternatives program. We also provided funding to offset cost increase to jail medical, to our jail medical contract resulting from the opening of the 222 additional beds. We added probation staffing and operational services to supervise the PRCS inmates released from the state. 1,000, as I said, 170 PRCS offenders have been assigned to local supervision since the onset of realignment. We also added on-call officers to respond to law enforcement needs during weekends and evenings. And I included in your packet some statistics related to the on-call services. We added probation staffing and operational services to double the capacity of our day reporting center. 722 mandatory supervision cases have been assigned to supervision staff since the onset of realignment. Contracted services at the day reporting center include Friends Outside, the Literacy Center, Sierra Education, Youth for Christ, Mental Health, and Electronic Monitoring. Attendance at our DRC has ranged from 132 to 198 offenders per month over the last 6 months. Last year, we added a crime analyst to track and analyze data relevant to criminal justice realignment. A recent report prepared by the crime analyst, who was hired just 6 months ago, reflects 21% of the PRCS offenders had a subsequent conviction during supervision. 14% of those convictions occurred during the first 6 months. And I know that that may seem high to some. I would emphasize that 79% of the population had no conviction. 15% of the mandatory supervision cases had a conviction during supervision, and nearly 85% of those did not have a conviction. A second data report completed by the crime analyst reflects 43% of the PRCS offenders were arrested while on supervision, while 48% of the mandatory supervision offenders were arrested. Arrests include violations of probation, flash incarcerations, warrants, and new law violations. Probation utilizes both flash incarcerations and violations of probation as supervision tools in an effort to decrease the likelihood of new law violations. During the first 2 years, we also added BHRS and probation staffing to increase the capacity of the integrated forensics team, which is a treatment program for our mentally ill offenders. We also added a social worker to establish benefits to support mental health treatment. 49 offenders were referred between October 1, 2011 and February of 2013. Of those, 27 enrolled in the program. During phase two, we also added medication services, which included psychiatry, nursing, and supportive services for the AB 109 offenders, and it was up to 100 offenders that the program could accommodate. This program was not fully implemented due to delays in hiring staff and securing a permanent site for the program. With year two funding, we did add a modular building to serve as our medication annex. That building is now in place, and we expect to begin fully operating that program during year three. We utilized a regional apprehension task force during years one and two, and basically this provides funding to reimburse our local law enforcement for operations that target AB 109 offenders. Last year, we had 18 task force operations that resulted in 48 arrests for new law violations, 22 arrests on wants and warrants, 3 immigration holds, 38 flash incarcerations and probation violations, and 5 parole holds. Finally, we also funded the Second Chances California program in year two. And this program is a pilot vocational and psychoeducational program. It experienced a late startup and began operating in December of 2012. Probation staff referred 22 offenders to the program. Of those, the majority of the offenders are still receiving services. Several have graduated. One was rearrested and two failed to attend. The chart in front of you describes the known funding that we will have available for fiscal year 2013-2014. We know that we will receive a base allocation of a little more than $14.5 million. We will receive an additional $150,000 for this year for our planning efforts. We anticipate at a minimum $4.4 million in carryover from fiscal year 2012-2013. And this number could be a little higher. We were still trying to close out our year-end at the time we were preparing this item. In total, we know that we will have slightly more than $19 million available for next year. I've also included a chart that shows the district attorney public defender allocation that is received in our county. The use of these funds has been included in this agenda item. However, this is a separate pot of funding, and is provided specifically to the DA and public defender to help offset their financial impacts for handling PRCS and parole violation hearings. They are scheduled to receive $284,151 and will also receive growth funding in September. Fund balance for the initial years is $19,765 for the DA and a little over $120,000 for the public defender. I know this is kind of a busy chart up here, but the CCP Executive Committee is recommending use of $18,749,567 for the upcoming year. And I think it's important to mention here that these are all up to amounts so that each agency only receives what they actually spend. Any unused allocations remain in the CCP account and are redistributed the following year based on the approved plan. Use of the $18.7 million will leave us with a very small reserve of just over $300,000. As stated previously, Phase 1 and 2 programs have served as the foundation for our implementation plan. The full CCP committee has regularly reviewed the progress of these programs during our ongoing CCP monthly meetings and has found programs, these programs to be beneficial in addressing the realigned population. The full committee has also reviewed the new program proposals in consideration of Phase 3. After review of the program proposals and consideration of the feedback from the full committee, the executive committee approved the recommended Phase 3 plan that was provided in your packet. The executive committee, on a vote of 5-1, with one member absent, voted to approve the following programs. All Phase 1 and 2 staffing and programs are recommended to be continued and to serve as the core base plan going forward, with one exception. The Executive Committee has recommended continuation funding for Second Chances California for one additional year only. This program will be reevaluated throughout Phase 3 to determine its effectiveness and appropriateness for continued funding in subsequent years. The following is recommended for Year 3. Total funding for the Sheriff's Department in the amount of $7,954,600 is recommended. This includes an additional $75,600 for a new volunteer services director. This position will facilitate all inmate programs, including reentry, alternatives to incarceration, evidence-based, faith-based, community-based, and religious program services for all adult facilities and linkage to the Day Reporting Center. For probation, the total amount of funding is recommended at $4,102,775. This includes new funding in the amount of $534,765 for five deputy probation officers. These five officers are part of the Day Reporting Center and were previously responsible for supervising felony probationers. They were funded with SB 678 funds, which are allocated to probation departments to provide services to felony probationers in an effort to prevent escalation to state prison on violations of probation. Future funding allocations for SB 678 are contingent upon our success rates related to felony probationers. And due to the increased AB 109 population receiving split sentences, these five officers are no longer supervising felony probationers and have been required to supervise the 1170H population. In order for probation to ensure success rates for felony probationers, funding must support efforts related to probationers and not the realigned population. So we are asking that these positions, these five positions now be funded through CCP dollars. The probation allocation also includes recommended funding in the amount of $160,000 for a portion of contract services related to our contract with regional SR 911 dispatch services and $5,200 for predictive analytics software to assist the crime analyst. Realignment has forced the probation department to take on a stronger enforcement role in public safety. To ensure officer safety while conducting field activities, the department began using computer-aided dispatch and limited SR 911 dispatch services last year. This initial year of use has revealed the need for the department to fully utilize dispatch services like all law enforcement. This has resulted in increased costs associated with the contract, and we have attributed 61.5% of the contract cost to AB 109 activities. Funding in the amount of a little over $1.8 million is recommended for behavioral health and recovery services. This includes $132,000 for a new software developer analyst position to assist the agency in fully developing and monitoring performance measures for mental health and substance abuse programs related to AB 109. This position will also be available to other county departments and the crime analysts to assist in our programming needs related to data collection. We are recommending funding continue for the following programs that were funded in years one and two. $132,000 to the Community Services Agency for their family services specialist. $500,000 for the jail medical contract that sits in the chief executive office budget. $75,750 for Second Chances California. $100,000 for regional apprehension team. And the $150,000 for our CCP planning efforts. That was allocated an additional year. Each year we are uncertain if we're going to get the reimbursement for our planning efforts, but it was included in the state budget for the upcoming year. Funding for the following programs are for agencies and services not previously funded in the first 2 years of realignment. Funding in the amount of $367,000 is recommended for the district attorney. The DA has not historically received any of our CCP funds. The DA has experienced increases in the number of misdemeanor and felony referrals from law enforcement over the past 2 years. Although it is unclear if the increased workload is entirely attributable to realignment, the department has definitely been impacted by the increased activities of both probation and the Regional Apprehension Task Force. These activities frequently result in new law violations that must be reviewed and handled by the DA's office. The DA has provided a separate allocation for the handling of parole and PRCS violations. However, the funding formula used by the state was based on the assumption that state parole agents would be using flash incarceration as an alternative to filing formal parole violations. The state has since decided to not use flash incarceration as a sanction, thereby increasing the likelihood of more parole revocation hearings than projected. The funding allocation provided to the DA is insufficient to address the additional workload related to parole revocation hearings. Funding is recommended for one attorney and two clerical support staff to mitigate the impacts of realignment on the department. Funding is also recommended for a victim advocate position to ensure victim notifications are completed in a timely manner. This position will also assist with the handling of victim restitution issues. Funding in the amount of $290,000 is recommended for the public defender. Like the DA, the public defender has not received any CCP funds in prior years and has been impacted by the increases in new felony cases handled by the department, as well as the increased activities resulting from probation and the regional task force operations. $200,000 in funding will provide for an attorney and one clerical support staff position. Up to $90,000 in funding is recommended to mitigate realignment impacts on the Indigent Defense Fund for those AB 109 cases where the public defender has a legal conflict of interest. Up to $45,000 is recommended for the Nirvana Drug and Alcohol Treatment Institute to provide residential drug and alcohol treatment services for up to 30 AB 109 offenders. The program has provided residential services to several AB 109 offenders at no cost during the past year. They will continue to provide matching treatment beds during the upcoming year. Funding in the amount of $150,000 is recommended for El Concilio to pilot a reentry program that will provide intensive wraparound case management services to AB 109 offenders. In addition to the intensive case management, offenders will receive assessments, referrals to community organizations, assistance with job training and housing, and progress reports. This program is being modeled after a similar successful program being provided by El Concilio in San Joaquin County. Funding in the amount of $3 million is recommended as a set-aside for operational and programming costs related to the AB 900 Phase 2 public safety expansion that is expected to be completed in 2016-2017. This additional 456-bed inmate custodial and medical mental health bed expansion will address growth impacts of realignment and public safety needs. The facility will require an additional 72 sworn positions, estimated to cost $10 million annually. 16 additional positions are recommended for funding with year 3 CCP funds, and 2 additional positions are requested for funding using the District Attorney Public Defender account. 9 of these positions are detailed in the table in front of you and in your agenda packet. These 9 positions will require changes to the salary and position allocation report. Future issues. Like in our previous years, we do continue to have future issues related to realignment. The unfair and inequitable distribution formula for AB-109 base allocations continues to be at the forefront of concerns for Central Valley counties. The temporary 2-year funding formula greatly disadvantaged our county. Based on projected average daily populations at the 4-year rollout and AB-109 allocations that were set for years 2 and 3, we would receive $11,864 per ADP. The statewide average is $18,381. So it's a huge discrepancy. For state associations like CSAC, CPAC, and the State Sheriff's Association, we will continue to work on a solution and hopefully see increases to our base. However, I would say that I'm not very optimistic of that. I think it's hard to take many away from counties that they have already been building programs around for the past 2 years. The amount of growth funding remains unknown at this point. We anticipate receiving growth funding in September of this year and annually thereafter. The Department of Finance is responsible for determining the specific county allocations for growth. Many of us have heard that the Department of Finance is aware of the inequities and will work to find an equitable solution. However, I would note all counties must receive growth funding. So it isn't a matter of them just giving it to the counties who were shorted in the base allocation. So at this point, it's a wait-and-see game with regards to what happens with our funding in the future. We have not included growth funding in this year's plan. We know that we will have significant ongoing cost exposures with the opening of AB-900, of the AB-900 expansion in 2016-2017. In an effort to mitigate the cost of operating the facility, we have designated $3 million this year as a set-aside. However, I think that you should be aware, if we remove the $3 million from the budget that is recommended to you today, we would still need nearly $16 million annually to operate all recommended Phase 1, 2, and 3 programs and services. As of today, using the temporary funding formula, our base allocation is only $14.5 million. So if the state does not make any changes to the base allocation formula, we would need to utilize growth funds to fill that gap. It will be incumbent upon the CCP to closely scrutinize the funded programs to ensure that only those programs and services that are necessary and proven effective be recommended going forward. Additionally, we do not yet know the impacts of the ruling by the 3 federal judges overseeing California's prison overcrowding case. They denied the governor's request for a stay of their order to begin reducing inmate populations by more than 10,000 more inmates. And hopefully that does not equate to a changing of the rules and impact have future impacts to us locally. Finally, inmate and supervision populations continue to exceed state projections, and we do not yet know the true impacts of realignment on our community. We will continue to pursue the use of data to drive our decisions. I did want to share with you this chart that the crime analyst prepared for us, just to kind of give you an example of the fluctuations that we are seeing in crime. This data is for Part 1 crimes reported by law enforcement. The crime analyst was able to obtain this information for all of the law enforcement agencies in our county. And as you can see, some types of the crimes have gone down. Larceny, auto thefts, and aggravated assaults have all gone down this past quarter, while burglaries and simple assaults slightly increased. Overall, these rates are consistent with the downward trend that we are hearing about statewide. And at this point, we just don't know, and I think another year's worth of data will give us a better indication of what's happening on crime rates. Our next steps will be to continue reviewing the AB-109 population numbers, service and treatment needs, staffing levels, and outcomes for the programs, and we will return annually to your board with subsequent year's plans. We have four recommendations for you for today. They are as follows. We would like you to approve the recommended CCP plan for Phase 3, authorize the Chief Probation Officer to sign all documents related to the 2011 Public Safety Realignment, including all contracts, authorize the Chief Probation Officer and Sheriff to sign all contracts related to this year's CCP plan, and to amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommended changes outlined in the staffing impact section effective the first pay period following your board's approval. And with that, I'm available for any questions, and I apologize for the long-winded presentation, but I felt it was important to recap what we have done over the past couple of years.
Very important stuff. Any questions?
Let's talk a little bit about, you talked about San Luis County and Contra Costa County having about the same supervision. Can you talk about the funding for our county per client we have in Contra Conchas?
Sure. Well, I do know that with the funding formula that we had that came into play in years 2 and 3, Contra Costa received an additional $16 million annually to their allocation. So they greatly benefited from the revised funding formula.
And doesn't that roughly come out to like $33,000 per person?
Yeah, I actually, if you give me one quick second, I have one of those charts that I put together.
It's a bunch.
See, I said that now, and it's going to take me a second to locate it. But it was huge in comparison.
Approximately triple per person that we're receiving. What's the long-term plan for these dollars? Are we expected to see these, assuming we can't get the change in formula, is this pot of money expected to grow over time or shrink over time?
Well, the base allocation is expected to shrink over time, but growth funding is what is expected to continue to grow into the future. But I guess where I would say we need to use caution is, you know, in January, we expected probably at a minimum, if we were to continue using the same type formula that years 2 and 3 saw, we would get an additional $1.2 million annually in growth funding. When the May revise came out, that was cut by 41%. So growth funding is unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen with it. If sales tax and use taxes continue to come in great amounts, then we will see larger amount of monies coming to the locals.
And that caution is exactly where I'm concerned as well. We have $14.5 million coming this year, and we're going to spend $18.7 million. Now, we can argue that $3 million is a set-aside, but still $15.7 million, and you hit that in your staff report. We're spending $1.2 million more than what we're expected to bring in. With the uncertainty, I think that's scary. And what I think this board will hear from everybody we're giving money to this year, next year at this time, I say, well, I just want what I got last year. But if we're spending more than we're bringing in, at some point we're going to have to say no. And so caution is a good word to have. I'm extremely cautious with what we're doing with this today. And I think when we see that growth funding come in, we probably need to set that aside for contingencies. Because I think it's very probable that we're going to have contingencies come up in the future.
Yes, if I could respond to that real quick. I'm anticipating at a minimum right now we would receive $600,000. That's if Department of Finance did not make any sort of effort to change the funding formula. We are hearing from everyone that Department of Finance is going to make this right somehow. Now, I know there's no guarantee of that, but I have even heard from those counties that have reaped the benefits of the funding formula. They're in agreement with us that the growth funding really needs to come to make the Central Valley counties and the southern counties whole. So, that's a minimum, and it is. I guess what I could say to you is in September when that amount comes back, we certainly could return to the board to give an update of what those funds are and make changes.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Terry?
Joe, thanks for, I know this is a lot of work, and thanks for you and your team and the executive committee doing all this stuff.
I guess I really share the concerns that Bill has kind of with all of this. You know, we're constantly looking to try to get made whole with the state. It's not going to happen. You know, I mean, but just like we said, it's got to come from somewhere, and so somebody else is going to give up. So we've got to figure this out ourselves with what we have. And I'm afraid, just like I said, when we look at this budget, I know there's $3 million that we've set aside towards AB 900, that, you know, the 16-17 year when we're going to have the start $10 million. The jail, it's just, that's not going to get it. And so so I don't know what the answer is. And the other question that I want to find out is, as a board, what can, with this budget, what are our options? Is the only option for us here to just say, no, we don't want this budget, or yes, we're going to take it, or can we pick it apart and change things? And I guess that's maybe a question to Jack. Does anybody know that at this point?
I can answer one part of that, because the counties, different counties have interpreted it differently. Sacramento's interpreted it different than Stanislaus County so far. And they've tried to take over the process themselves. I you know, it's my assumption the intent was that we give it a thumbs up or thumbs down, we send it back, we don't like it.
Okay.
And that's how I'm going to abide by this. If we don't like it, we vote it down and send it back and ask for revisions. But some counties are trying to do something different.
Okay.
So you can take your best shot at it. So it takes a 4/5 vote to pass this, and I think first, we need to hear from everyone on their comments based on, I think that would be fair, and comments from the public, and then we'll bring it back for our thoughts. So, any other questions for Chief Probation Officer Silva? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to the audience. Would anyone like to make any comments? No one's rushing forward. I wouldn't expect that. So, okay, I'll bring it back to the... bring it back to the board. I also want to say that it takes 4/5 to reject this, 4 out of 5 to reject it, not to accept it. So that was something I had said wrong. So I'm going to start with comments really quick, because Supervisor O'Brien and Supervisor Withrow have been attendees of these meetings, and I've had a couple of meetings with Chief Probation Officer Silva. But as I'm talking about the state, we were just talking about the state. We're very fortunate here in Stanislaus County, because our chief probation officer, our sheriff, our district attorney, our public defender actually talk, and that's not the way it is in a lot of counties. And that's, I think that's why we have coming forward what we do have. Looking at what we have to balance the need in the community today versus future costs, and we're looking at our jail expansion, and we've been very prudent over the years to set money aside, and there's a figure that was picked out, and that was $3 million. We can argue if that's enough or if that's too much based on the need today. And we saw the numbers, our expectation, there was an original number that came out, there was a revised number, and we're still running 20% plus over that number, and there was never a true up. And is that, am I correct in saying that there was never a true up on the number?
On the carry over?
On the number of PRCS offender, oh. The offenders, and there was never a true up. So we got the double whammy. But when you talk about balancing, you know, what is the need in our community today? And we had one heck of a carryover from the first year, because there wasn't guaranteed, this was not constitutionally guaranteed funding. So it was very smart of us not to hire and start programming without the constitutional guarantee. But without the true-up, we have capacity issues in our jail for flash incarceration. We talk about how valuable that can be, but when we're essentially in a one-in, one-out position, that puts us at a disadvantage. And this is an increased burden on law enforcement, and we're already overburdened in the law enforcement side. I mean, trying to take care of things, we've cut down to the bare minimum. So I guess... When I look at the spending for 1 year, being 1 year, I'm okay with overspending for 1 year, but true to their word, we can only expect about $600,000 in growth funding. I think that number is at the bottom side. I think we're going to end up with more. I agree with you, but we will be overspending a little bit. Now, does that mean we take it away from the $3 million you set aside, or does that mean we cut programming in the future? That's going to be for the CCP. I'm going to live with overspending for 1 year because of the need, I believe, that's in the community. Also, we have to be vigilant. We talk about all our programming we have out there. And And you said data-based. I mean, database, we have to look at it. They have to prove that the programming is working. We can't throw money at every community-based organization and hopes that they make a difference, because until the funding formula gets changed, we're at a disadvantage, like we always are. I did some quick numbers. If we were at the average, not above average, if we were at the average, that's $20 million we would be receiving in funding. So I think we'll continue to fight for funding through CSAC and through your association. I also wanted to let everyone know that Stanislaus County is going to be participating with the Public Policy Institute of California and tracking the effects of realignment, because there was realignment came down, but there was never any goal other than they're going to give us 60% of the funding they were utilizing in the state of California. They're spending a dollar on these people, stick it to the counties. They don't stick it to the counties. They give it to the counties in a forced way, and they give us 60% of the funding to do the same job. And that would have been tough if they trued up the numbers. That would be difficult for us in every other county, but it puts us even bigger disadvantage because of what we've heard here today. So I'm going to be okay with it. So going forward for 1 year, but everyone, and that includes the district attorney, that includes the public defender, that includes the sheriff, probation, every program we have, we're going to look at it because we can't deficit spend anymore. And we need to have a discussion of, is $3 million enough, is $3 million too much? But because we've been such good planners over the last 5 or 6 years since I've been around in these tough times, I think we continue to remain vigilant. So those are my thoughts.
I'll make one comment about the trip, just so that the public understands. The Department of Finance utilized the average daily population numbers for the 4-year rollout. That's when they expected the level off. And so those were the numbers that were used. When the chief probation officer from Fresno County actually went to represent the Central Valley chiefs and took that information to Department of Finance, that in the Central Valley we are far exceeding those numbers that you projected, as kind of a way of telling them that needs to be taken into consideration when you set the funding formula for the growth funds. So I just wanted to add that it's a 4-year set of numbers that they used.
But the baseline is we were at 107 or 108% in the Central Valley as a whole of the number that was set. So that was automatically 8%, and the Bay Area was running 6 or 7% below. They continue to receive, based on an average daily population, ADP, they continue to receive the same funding, even though fewer people were coming into their system.
Right.
We were receiving, that's why this disparity grew.
And they got the state to agree to using population. Overall population, not just 109 population.
Yeah. Okay, Supervisor Montes.
Well, I have a question, and I want to clarify something. Did you say that if this, we overexpend this year, that balance can be taken out of the $3 million held in reserve?
Not for this year. No, we had $4.4 million of carryover from the first
year. Right, okay, but if we run short, we have that much to cover for this year?
Absolutely.
And that can be used for that, so we could address this year with some backup to carry over. That's what you're saying.
Yes, we have the $3 million in the budget to set aside this year. It is going forward what Supervisor O'Brien was talking about next year.
I'm concerned about this year. I understand your reasoning approaching it for this year to make sure that we're covered. Beyond that, it depends on the results.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify that in my mind. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I think it's important to note the $3 million is one-time funding. There's nowhere in the budget next year that would give probably a dime towards AB 900.
That's why our approach can be for 1 year and evaluate from there. Is that possible?
Yeah. Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to go ahead and support this today. I just hope for the best. One of the advantages we have in this county is, as our chairman said, is the district attorney, public defender, sheriff, probation all talk to each other and are working on a plan. I know a lot of counties don't do that, and to everybody's credit, that we do have a plan. The inequity between the counties, though, is a concern, and it has been that way forever. It's not only with this, but it's with our property tax allocation also. It seems like the counties that have the political influence wind up two to three times what we have, and we've always been counted to just have to make do the best we can. deficit spending, though, into the future is not something that we can do. We'll get through this year, but it's a big concern, and we may have to really take a closer look at this next year. And community-based organizations that they're on the list that are getting funding, they're really going to have to show some results, and we're not just going to throw money at them if they can't show us that they're reducing incarceration rates or have some type of benefit for the public. So anyway, I'll go ahead with it. The future is always very uncertain, and we hope that there'd be better equity in the future. You know, the state of California really hasn't got any plan. All they're trying to do is reduce their population and their cost and shoving it off on the local jurisdictions. And with what they know is not sufficient amount of money to take care of it. So the thing that would help this county the most is a new legislature.
Always takes me a second to get your humor. Because it's veiled. Any other comments? Thank you, Chief Probation Officer. All right, so bring it back to the board for action.
You know, I'm just gonna add one more thing. I'm still just kind of concerned that this is kind of a train wreck that's coming towards us, and with the way this budget is, is the deficit spending we're talking about, and then I wonder again. I wish I had more power over this budget. I guess I wish we could play with these numbers a little bit more. Again, nothing to take away from what's already been done and the hard work everybody put into this thing. But what would happen if we did, if we took some money away from the public defender, or if we took, sheriff took less money, probation took less money, what are the ramifications? What are the results? What would the numbers change as far as the, in our county? Because that's what we're probably going to have to do here as this thing gets down the road. And we end up with not enough money to make this thing work, and then we've got the jail to cover. So, I'm going to go with this, I guess, but I'm really concerned as to how this is going to end up, and it's just going to end up more money coming out of our general fund, which is going to take more services away from other things in the county. So, I don't have an answer, and that's probably more of a commentary than anything else, but I just think that this is very concerning where this could end up. So
I forgot to. Oh, Supervisor.
Just a thought that this board may want to consider. And as Chief Probation Officer Jill Silva mentioned, any additional growth would require a budget augmentation. So it would have to come before this board. So Supervisor Withrow, Supervisor O'Brien, it kind of addresses our chairman's concerns also as far as this deficit spending for 1 year and recognizing that. We know 2016-2017 will be a real critical year for this organization as a result of bringing up those 300-plus jail beds. And, construction's one thing, that's one time, but operations, that's ongoing. And so we were able to capitalize on that $80-plus million from the state of California and incur no new debt on potentially those 300 new beds. So one opportunity there may be is that the CCP's executive committee, as part of any growth, any increases in growth, any increases in allocation related to growth, that as part of that allocation, that this board determine a percentage or some kind of consideration for the future funding of our 8,900 beds. So given I realize it's one time, but yet since growth, primarily the whole formula funding structure is going to change from the base funding to growth being the ongoing funding, that would turn into there'd be some kind of base factor that would relate to the future funding of the AB 900 beds for the future that this board could utilize for consideration for the executive committee to give staff some direction.
But this board couldn't make that decision.
Well, what it would do is it would give that just a thought. It would give the executive committee some direction from this board. So to consider for growth funding that a percentage or allocation be set aside, because as Jill mentioned, that whole formula, that pot will grow hopefully bigger on the growth side, but base is going to go down. So tying the future ongoing funding for those additional beds and the associated operational costs, that would provide some kind of stability, some kind of, you know, ongoing funding that, to say that, that would be considered as part of the base, that this board would like the executive board to consider that for future allocations.
And I think that something is very important. That's why I was talking about the $3 million. Where did we come up with $3 million? I mean, where did that come from? We can, as a board, collectively agendize this, talk about what we think that should be, that number should be, set it aside so they start, because if we have that discussion as a directive, then it won't get past the board. I mean, then it'll be rejected otherwise. But we've never had that discussion as a board about how much we want to set aside. And I don't want to, you know, I'm real cautious about trying to tell Sheriff Christensen what's the best way to run his operation, or Chief Probation Officer Silva how to run their operation. So I have to have trust in our department heads. But I think that ongoing funding, which will fall on us in the end, that we're setting aside $3 million for, which is a great start, but is that $1 million, is that $2 million? And maybe we have that discussion, decide what that number is, and send it back.
See, I think the number has to be, I mean, if you look at the source of the revenue from it, the funding needs to be what AB-109ers are costing us.
Yes.
And we can't put our finger on that.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody, any department could stand up and say, AB-109 is costing my department X amount of dollars. And so this is the best guess of what we're doing. As far as Supervisor Withrow, the only authority this board has is four of us to say we don't like the plan. I mean, that's all of our authority in this matter. But I'm going to assume that the executive committee is hearing us loud and clear. That if something like this came to us again, I'm hoping that this board, four of us, would say, send it back and try again.
And I think you hit that on the nail on the head there, Bill. We don't know what it's costing. I guess that's what's so frustrating about this, is we don't know. So we're throwing these money. Again, we're trusting our department heads. That's great, but we don't know for sure what AB-109 is costing us. And
I guarantee you it's costing more than this.
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though our statistics may not show it right now, I will guarantee you that crime out there is being committed because of AB-109, as new criminals are seeing that there's no room in the inn, and if I'm caught, I'm not going to do the time. And it's scary, and AB-109 is costing us a whole lot more than what we're getting, and it's going to in the future. And that's why I'm cautious about overspending.
And I would agree with Supervisor O'Brien on that one point. There's not a lot of consequences to committing crimes anymore, and the people that are out there stealing cars and copper wire know that. We only have so many jail beds.
And that's why we're moving forward with more capacity coming 2016.
Okay. Pleasure of the board. And did the executive committee hear that? Okay. Boy, does anyone grab the mic? Pleasure of the board? Don't make me do it.
So move.
They have a motion on the floor to accept all four recommendations?
All four.
Have a second from me. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Okay. We have no scheduled matters. Move on to correspondence.
This board has received a notice from the Department of Fish and Wildlife regarding proposed regulations regarding mountain lions.
Refer to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from Sutter Health regarding the termination of two employees that is expected to be permanent to commence on or about September 13, 2013 from their Sutter Central Valley Hospitals doing business as Memorial Medical Center for the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act requirement.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the law firm of William Westberg regarding an appeal of a bid protest against the award of a contract on behalf of Mistral Securities.
Refer to the General Services Agency and County Council.
And this board
has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agricultural Disaster designation of Stanislaus County and other counties as a result of the drought conditions.
Refer to the Department of Ag Commissioners, see their weights and measures. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like to report that last night at the Ceres City Council meeting, they did approve unanimously the Memorandum of Understanding between Monterey Park Track and the city and Stanislaus County to allow the construction of the pipeline from the city of Ceres to provide clean water to Monterey Park Track. It has been a long time in coming, and there's been a lot of people involved in this, four government agencies plus the self-help enterprises that got this done. It's a $2.2 million grant from Prop 84 to bring that water line over to Monterey Park Track. I believe with this approval of the Memorandum of Understanding that all the obstacles now are in the way, unless they find some snail or frog or something in the way of the pipeline, so the environmental document is not done yet.
Okay, thank you. That's great news. Supervisor Withrow.
So I'm just going to welcome Dick back here, and I was impressed. He flew in late last night for his vacation, and he made it here. He's a tough guy. Good job.
Great. All right. We have no legislative, fiscal, and management report, so we are going to move on to the sitting. I'm going to call the order. Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority Consent Calendar. Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. First and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have no correspondence, no public hearings, no agenda items, public forum. Ready for anyone to speak? Seeing none, I'll move on. We do have a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiator will be Monica Nino and Jody Hayes, and the labor organization under discussion is United Domestic Workers. We do not expect a report out.
All right. If nothing else, for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.